Android and iPhone users, welcome. BlackBerry and Windows Phone users, these phones don't even support podcasting, bro. The podcast going beyond the headlines. This is the Gooply Cast. Here's your host, Matthew Carter.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Gooply Cast. If you are watching live tonight, thank you for joining us. Feel free to share your comments with us in the chat. If you can't make our live show, we have an audio-only version. You can find that on all your favorite Android and iOS podcasting apps. With us tonight is iPhone Jedi, Matt Evans. Hey, Matt.
Hey, how's it going?
Also joining us is iMac connoisseur, Roy Slipinski. Hey, Roy.
Good evening.
As well as Avatar, Tim Van Claveren. Hey, Tim.
Hello.
And directing the live stream tonight is Joe Meacham.
Hey.
Big thanks to Joe. Hey, Joe. So, tonight we will be recapping or talking about, discussing, diving into, picking apart the trial, the Apple versus Epic antitrust lawsuit that Epic is waging against Apple and Google, technically, and seemingly all walled gardens of any kind. This whole thing has made me kind of feel disgusted with Tim Sweeney and Epic and all the philandering they're trying to do, saying that Tim Sweeney and Epic is there for the developers and they're trying to fight the good fight to break open Apple's closed ecosystem so that, you know, the 30% that Apple charges won't be there, all their crazy their ability to remove people from the App Store or ban people from using specific technologies in the App Store won't be there when the billion-dollar company Epic is just trying to make more billions. And they're not there for anyone but themselves.
No, yeah.
I haven't enjoyed researching much of this. It's been sad.
Is there any highlights that you didn't like from the first week trial?
Well, let me pull up. So you shared an article by 9to5 Mac, I believe, written by Jose Adorno. So in his article, he kind of broke up each day by what they were arguing about in the case. So on day one, it was Epic focusing on Apple, trying to paint the App Store as a monopoly and an anti-competitive system that, and Apple is failing to offer all the benefits that they're claiming they give to developers when they charge 30%, essentially. And they pulled out all these kind of ridiculous emails to paint a picture of, like, Apple was in it from the beginning to set up an anti-competitive Apple-first app store. And these are all the emails to prove it. When it's just like, no, they were just trying to develop, like, an app store that allowed them to continue to research and develop technologies across their entire ecosystem, which is exactly what Epic is doing. They're farming Fortnite to build the Epic Game Store, and they're giving developers money to get exclusive titles, to lock people into or pull people away from other ecosystems into the Epic Game Store ecosystem. Like, it's the same thing. You get money any way that you can. You try to keep your users and attract new users whatever way that you can, as long as it's not illegal. Which nothing that Epic really brought up in the first day seemed like it was illegal. It just seemed like that's what everybody does, like business. I know, that's what I thought.
Yeah. Well, and 9to5 Mac has actually had some really good coverage of the trial over the week. So the recap is like the whole week, and then they break it down into days if you really wanted to see it all. One of the things that I noticed from the Epic on day two, it was an interesting tidbit that was announced that when Sweeney announced that he uses an iPhone. Did you guys see that?
Because of course he does.
And the reason that what he uses an iPhone, what is it for? It's for the fact that it focuses on privacy and security. which is what Apple is all about, and which is what he's trying to dismantle when he wants to bring third-party app systems into the App Store. Like, what is that really going to do for us when we have 50 billion payment systems in the App Store? And I so agree. I just, like, I found that very, that he's so anti-iPhone or so anti-Apple right now, and yet he's using an iPhone. And
the very thing that he's...
Because of privacy and security.
And the very thing that he's trying to do, Apple is claiming will open up their ecosystem to more piracy, more security risks, less trust from their customer base, and just more confusion in general. And the reason why Apple's privacy and security, like, you could argue that it's terrible. You could argue that they don't achieve what they claim. And even Apple, I think, was like, yeah, we're not 100% perfect on everything that we do, but we try. And then they listen to community and developer feedback, and then they iterate. And then that's why Apple is where it is, and why the CEO of the company suing them is using the phone. Like, if he was using an Android phone, it would be like, all right, at least, you know, he's using Android because that's the kind of ethos that he wants, this open, this open free ecosystem that anyone can be a part of. You can use any payment system you want. Like, if he was really 100% consistent on that, then he would be using an Android phone, but he's not. I wonder why that is.
Yeah, and he wants, if you can't bring payment systems in there, he wants to be able to sideload apps onto the iPhone. What's that going to do? Create more piracy and fraud and compromise the ecosystem of the iPhone itself. So another thing, too, that I noticed, and 9to5 pointed this out, but they got Sweeney to admit during cross-examination that if Apple had offered him a deal to no other developers, that he would have taken it.
Yeah. So
is he really fighting for developers when he says that? If that Apple made a special deal for Epic Games, that he would have accepted it? Like, I mean, no, I just found that like him saying that he's, you know, or Epic Games saying that they're bringing this trial, you know, for that, and then to say that, you know, if he was offered a deal that no other developer got, he would do that. I just thought that was a backstab in the back. So,
oh yeah, if they gave you a red phone where you could call Tim Cook and ask him for anything that you want, would you take it?
Yeah.
Yes, I would take that phone. It's like, of course you would.
Well,
because
you just gotta go over to Roy's place. He's got direct connections there, but.
Really, just Tim Sweeney just needs to get on Roy's level. That's all that I learned from this whole thing, is that I don't know. Roy is fantastic, and I guess that just means Tim Sweeney is not fantastic, and so Apple just isn't listening to him, which is...
That's exactly right.
It's an interesting thing, though. Even though he's using an iPhone, he must... maybe he's not replied with his iPhone, but we were talking about this in the Slack too, because one of the emails that Tim Cook came out and did, and he one of at the bottom of his signature, it said "sent from an iPad."
It blows me away. The CEO of Apple does not change his signature.
Well, and here's the thing.
It's intentional.
A number of CEOs, high popular CEOs, don't necessarily use email as much as you think. Okay, so here's one reason. Tim Cook's email is all out there. How many, all these Apple executives get tons and tons of email every day. So they must have some type of filter that filter things. So anybody with a non-Apple ID probably gets put into another mailbox or puts into a folder or some type of separation thing so that they don't have to go through that. Because, you know, at the end of the day, Apple executives generally only talk to, you know, people at Apple via email, probably. I doubt they're
whoever directly reports to them, like the leaders of the business division.
So they probably have some internal tools to sort through their email and stuff like that, just because there's a lot out there. But I was reading another article, and I don't remember where it was, but like top name CEOs don't have signatures on their email. You know, like when Steve Jobs signed his emails, it was Steve. Because what are you going to put in there? Your email address, your phone number, your cell phone number, your address. Everybody knows where to send messages to, like, and everything because of that. So it's like if they did that during trials like this and discoveries and lawsuits and stuff like that, all that information would just get leaked. Yeah. It's like when Mark Zuckerberg's phone number got leaked from the hack from Signal, I think it was, or something. Like the same thing. All that information is just going to get leaked. So
with the amount of emails and things that get leaked at this point, it would just be bad publicity if he didn't have like sent from my Apple product in his signature.
Yeah. And so, so I just don't think that they changed their, I just don't change their signature. I think, you know, it says sent from iPhone or whatever, because I just don't think that email is a big focus for big executives.
And what did you mention what that email said? Like, I don't remember if we talked about that. Because in it he said he didn't know who Tim Sweeney was. He was
the
guy I met in rehearsals or something? Like, he didn't even know who Tim Sweeney was at all. But they asked him to, like, come on stage with them and talk about either their partnership with Epic or some other technology that they were championing or something like that. It was like, Tim Cook was like, oh, this guy? Who?
Please apply cold water to burn.
That was probably one of the biggest things I noticed. And then on day three, we learned that Apple put together a big presentation to save Netflix from leaving in-app purchases.
Mm. So I think this makes Apple look really good.
It does, I think, yeah.
Because you were saying that they put a presentation to what? Stop Netflix from pulling in-app payment support out of the Netflix app, like not using Apple's in-app payment system?
So Netflix used to have in-app purchases in there, and I don't think it was more expensive. I don't remember. But anyways, they did have in-app purchases in there and stuff like that. And then they started testing the ability to take them away in some markets, and eventually ultimately ended up taking it out of the app altogether. But Apple put together a big presentation, you know, to try and prop up the benefits of having in-app purchases and stuff like that. So I think that was pretty big. And then also, you know, they offered some, you know, cross promotion, you know, in the App Store, trying to get Apple onto the Apple TV platform, you know, and stuff like that. So I think there was a lot of benefits to that. Ultimately it didn't work, and you know, Netflix pulled in-app purchases and kind of basically went on. So,
and Apple didn't chase them. They didn't punish them for withdrawing whatever crazy amounts of money they might get from Netflix new subscriptions or like recurring subscriptions, because it was probably substantial. I mean, it's Netflix.
Yeah.
So I appreciated that there wasn't any kind of unfortunate dark side that Apple had to reveal in dealing with Netflix. I mean, they've done other things with whatever that mail app was, and like Spotify is still angry at them for the way that I think it was the subscription services work, or like signing up for a subscription to Spotify. Spotify is still angry for various reasons, because they have to compete directly with Apple Music and stuff. But at least with Netflix, like a big streaming partner, they didn't anger them, which is at least something.
Yeah. The day four, they kind of talked about Hulu a lot. There was some reference to a special API, which I don't quite understand. It was a subscription cancel refund API. So it was some type of special API that certain developers have access to that we didn't know about. But it was, I don't know, it was some drama, I think, because a lot of people said that, you know, Apple treats everybody fairly, you know, and stuff like that. And then they're giving special API access for people for some type of in-app purchases where they could, you know, upgrade, cancel, refund, or something like that, you know.
I think that kind of reveals the fact that Apple doesn't treat people equally as much as they claim that they do, if they claim that. But businesses don't have to treat any of the people that they work with evenly if they don't want to. You can come up with whatever contract with whatever businesses that you want and have it be customized or special or specific, or give special privileges to, in this case, Apple could give special privileges to developers. I mean, even Tim Sweeney was like, I would have accepted a special deal with Apple because they're well within their right to do that. But I think on Tim Sweeney's side, like this Hulu being part of a set of special developers with special privileges is frustrating, because it's like, hey, Apple, it's clear that you do this and you could have done this for us, but now that you haven't, we're going to fight you. And the like subscription cancel and refund API that Hulu had access to seemed like it got baked into the App Store eventually. So I think even though Hulu got access to this special feature of the in-app payments, I think everybody now has it. But also Hulu is probably still part of this like special cove of trusted or special developers, well, probably with like...
Go ahead, finish yours.
I was just going to say probably with like, I don't know. I mean, this is Hulu, so that also probably means Disney, which is a super megalithic corporation. I'm surprised that Netflix isn't also part of this like special group. I'd like to see who else is in this developer group that Apple like specifically treats or specifically trusts and gives extra features, like behind the scenes features.
Well, there was an interesting article that I read, I think it was last night, that Hulu, or not Hulu, Apple gave a special API access to Zoom. And this is for, this is mostly for side-by-side for the iPad. So you can use the camera and slide over, which is like making your iPad into two screens where you can have two different apps open at the same time. And I guess there's a special API out there for this, you know, and it's interesting that apparently right now the only people who have access to it is Zoom.
That sounds like multitasking on Android, or is it just like one app?
Yeah, it kind of is. Yeah, it is. But to use the camera, I think it's to use the camera feature and stuff like that with multitasking. I think you have to have some type of separate API for it.
Oh, so like
for privacy purposes. So essentially you bring your you have one app right here and you have another app right here. And you can make them big or small. You can adjust the size of the app, you know, for the window size. So if, for example, you could have your Twitter feed open on one side, you could have, you know, Zoom on the other side, or you could do vice versa. You could have Notepad open, taking notes while you're on a Zoom call, those type of things.
That makes sense.
Also, you gotta watch TikTok while you're Zooming for work.
Yeah,
of course.
And then, Roy, you shared something in there about the judge.
Yeah, it was the judge said that she couldn't believe that they wouldn't allow... kind of like how Netflix and other streaming services do their streaming, but for cloud gaming. So basically, you know, Apple has more or less turned down the idea of xCloud and cloud gaming because they want to, there's no way to personally approve and quality test control all the games. And the judge is like, well, that doesn't make any sense because I can go to Netflix and watch any movie out there and you haven't personally gone through and graded each of those movies on its own scale, because there's already a rating system in place for the movies, just like there's already a rating place and system in place for the games. And I gotta say, at first I saw that headline and the first thought that went through my head was, I really hope that there's not a judge that doesn't fully comprehend everything that's going to happen in this trial, and they're going to make a decision based upon a lack of experience and a lack of knowledge and a lack of what's going on versus really understanding what's going on. But then I started thinking about it and I'm like, she kind of got a point there.
She do. She does, got a point.
And she does. And I brought this up in the Discord channel too. Like, I mean, gaming's already do have a rating system and I think that they should go off of that. I feel like that's a good position for Apple to have, is to filter, you know, gaming based on the rating system for games. One of the things that I just wanted to mention, because I know you talked about, you know, like whatever her decision's going to be, you have to understand this trial isn't going to be over this year. Okay. Whatever decision comes out, Epic wins, Apple wins, we're going straight to appeal.
Oh, of course. There's going to be an appeal.
It could be like years from now, but I get your point, you know, like having a technical background and wanting to understand the whole system, you know, and stuff like that.
On a completely somewhat related note, I agree with the judge that there should be cloud gaming, that should not be the reason there's not cloud gaming on Apple. However, I think that regardless of talking about that, that's not really what this trial is all about, you know? I mean, I get where Epic's kind of coming from, you know, how much control Apple is forcing upon developers and also on the users. But this really comes down to Epic's problem with the App Store and the App Store rules as it pertains to them. And the cloud gaming isn't really, like, it's such a small point of the whole picture. So the fact that it even made headlines, it's barely a wave in the whole trial.
Well, and it kind of made headlines because it goes back to when I think they referenced this in the trial or in some type of deposition, but there was a delay when Facebook came to the iPad, and one of the reasons why it was delayed more than likely is because Apple didn't want to, or Facebook didn't want to develop for the iPad, because they wanted to be able to put cloud gaming built into the iPad, because at that time Farmville was really popular, you know, and they wanted to have Farmville, and then they required Farmville to be a separate app, you know, and not do cloud gaming. So cloud gaming has kind of been around for a while, from the beginning of like when Facebook was, you know, building its base and everything and stuff like that. So, Facebook made it long ago. And there was some document revealed, you know, and stuff like that. This was back when Steve Jobs was around, but I read some email about that saying that, you know, Steve didn't want to put cloud gaming or something inside of the Facebook app.
So I have something to say about that kind of note in particular. One of the things that was talked about during the trial was the difference between something like Roblox and Minecraft and something like cloud gaming, and why Apple allows something like Roblox, which is, I've never played Roblox, but it seems like a Second Life kind of Sims, like you get a character, you have a world that you can explore, and there are different experiences that you can partake in that world. So maybe you can play a game in that world where you run through a maze and shoot people, I don't know. Or you can build a custom mech that you put your Roblox character into, and then you walk around some giant landscape. But like everything that you can do in Roblox is self-contained, whereas what seems to be the sticking point with Apple is that all of the games inside of like a cloud gaming service are each like discrete, completely separate packets that are not part of the same experience, which Apple seems to be okay with, like the Roblox side of gaming, but not the cloud side of gaming. But then, like, Netflix has interactive content, because they had that, like, Bandersnatch thing where you could use your phone to interact with content or some movie or video or episode of a show that you're watching and dictate how that content plays out. So there was some interactability. So that kind of blends the line between, well, is that a experience like you could get in Roblox, or is that its own like game thing? So I think that Tim Sweeney and like their side are trying to be like, hey, Apple, you're not really specific on what you're allowing and what you're not allowing. And Fortnite is trying to be this omni video game where they have like all the Marvel characters, all the, I don't know what they have now, like the DC characters.
They have Street Fighter characters.
They have Street Fighter characters. They're trying to create like a metaverse of all the different like properties and IPs. So I think in trying to like prepare for that, part of this fight is trying to make sure that they harvest as much money as they can themselves, because I'm sure they have to pay insane amounts of licensing fees to everyone all over the place. And I don't know, I think like not having Fortnite, which is kind of similar to Roblox, and that you can like do whatever you want in Fortnite. You can have concerts, you can play their straightforward Fortnite, like a battle royale game. Who knows what else you can do in the future as they move into like VR and other things. Like, I'm very surprised that Tim Sweeney has found his way into getting kicked off the Apple and the Google ecosystem, given that he seems to be wanting to create like the game of all video games.
So I think something very important for us to define here is what is cloud gaming, because not everybody might be so up to date with this as we are. So what is the exact definition of cloud gaming?
So in the way that I was talking about cloud gaming and the things that are getting banned from the Apple App Store, like Project xCloud and the Shadow Play service, are having a video game, like a console quality or PC quality video game, located on like Microsoft servers or Google servers, something like Projects or something like Stadia, being able to play a console quality game on any device, and you stream it like Netflix to your device, and you can control it with a controller or anything. Anything that you would normally be doing at a PC or at a video game console, you can do anywhere in the world through the internet. And some computer you don't even care where is running a copy of that game for you. And then, Matt, you mentioned, what was that game? Farmville?
That's like a, yeah.
It's a similar, it's like the exact same thing, but it's more like a smaller style game that's being played in a browser.
It was developers that could develop games using the Facebook APIs and the Facebook framework. And essentially you could play it with Facebook and share your games with other people and stuff like that, you know, help other people out in your different farms, I guess. But I agree. I hope Apple changes their position on cloud gaming. And like Roy said, you know, I hope that we go back to the system where cloud gaming is based off of, you know, the rating system for video games, because we all have it, you know. And Facebook could develop APIs, you know, for parent controls, you know, based on that, and give that ability to cloud gaming services, so that cloud gaming services can't, like, if you don't want your kid to play a shooting game, then you can block those type of games out in the parental controls built into the iPad. Because the parental controls basically built into the iPad and the iPhone are really strong. Like, they work really well, and they integrate with other applications sometimes, you know, and so you can really benefit from that. And so I hope Apple changes their position on that and allows cloud gaming, because I don't plan on buying an Xbox. I don't plan on buying a PC anytime soon, but I really want to play Halo. Like, so how do I play Halo?
Right. Well, and like
Safari on your phone.
Well,
oh yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, so we'll kind of see how it goes. I hope Apple changes their position on it, because I would really like to see cloud gaming and be able to game on the iPad, because the iPad is actually, when you think about it, is really nice for gaming. So
I think that Apple has a problem, kind of like a weakness, with the fact that they put the M1 chip in an iPad and on a desktop, because if Epic is saying the iPhone and the iPad are general computing devices, you should just be putting your operating system on it and then let everyone else do whatever they want, just like Windows, just like macOS. I think that if they put the M1 chip and have macOS running on it, and then they put the M1 chip and have iPadOS running on it, then someone somewhere could make the argument, well, what is the actual differentiator between these two computing platforms other than the operating system that you have.
Well, I think it's the I think it's the operating system. You know, and Apple has said that you know, Macs aren't going away. You know, Macs are more of a powerful computing device. It's like the top of the line computing device. When you think of the iPad, you're kind of at the mid level. You know, I mean, you can do a lot of things you can do on a PC, but you can't do everything. And Apple said that, you know, iPads aren't going away. Mac OS isn't going away. They are invested into it. So I don't think it's necessarily the chip. The chip is a strong chip, and I think that that's going to help Apple, you know, go a long way in developing devices. But I think there's still a difference between iPad and Mac OS.
Do you think this brings up a bigger question of how, you know, Macs have always been seen as worse off for gaming. So is this just more of an indictment of the ability to game on the Mac that it's equal to like gaming on an iPhone or an iPad?
Well, no, I don't think so. You know, and Apple's been in the gaming system for a while. You know, they built Metal, which, you know, was a framework and a ability to make games on there. Did it really take off? No. But I think there are some really popular games on the iPhone and the iPad that, you know, and they've showed off a bunch of this at WWDC. Can you kind of transport that to Mac OS? Yeah, you probably can now, especially with the M1 chip and, you know, being able to convert your code for iPad games over there. So I think we'll see more. I think we'll see more gaming coming to the Mac. I don't know that it's going to be better though yet.
Make no mistake though that this whole trial is not about it's not about Apple's walled garden. It's not about cloud gaming. It's all about the fact that Epic, in all reality, doesn't want to live up to the contract that they agreed to give Apple their percentage that was agreed upon.
Money
and develop
money.
Their app so that the money has to go through the in-app purchase and not to redirect you to a, you know, to their third party whatever payment
system.
I think we have to
understand that based on the merits of the trial, I think that's what it's going to come down to. At the end of the day, I don't think the judge is going to be able to say much about cloud gaming because that's not what this trial is about. You know, the trial is about that Epic has violated the terms and conditions, like Roy said, of the App Store.
To find a way to get the judge or the court system to say that Apple is engaging in anti-competitive monopolistic practices. Like the fact that Epic happened to violate their terms, that's not good and that's bad, but like I think in the eyes of what the trial is about, they could still do that, and then the judge could say, well, Apple, yes, based on the evidence presented, we find that you have been engaging in anti-monopolistic practices anti-competitive practices and monopolistic practices. And while Epic, what you did was bad, Apple, you are still violating the law. So here's a big giant slap on the wrist.
But Epic's throwing this temper tantrum because they couldn't get their way. That is absolutely what they're doing.
Yeah.
Also, Fortnite is dying, maybe. And so this is the most expensive marketing stunt of all time.
It wouldn't be dying if they just paid the 30%.
Very, very unlikely.
I think
going back to the point, and I think Tim Sweeney at some point said he's bringing this lawsuit or fighting against Apple because of, you know, how they've treated developers and how they're monopolizing over this app store. When Tim Sweeney said in day two, if you were given a special deal through Apple that no other developer would have had, would you take it? And his answer was yes.
So, you don't want a Robin Hood that's going to betray you. Like, what?
We all know that Epic gosh darn, I just kind of lost my train of thought. We know that
Epic's looking out for themselves.
Tim Sweeney wouldn't be spending all of this money on this lawsuit for the little guy. I'm sorry. This is costing them an arm and a leg. And the real question that I got to ask anybody who is an executive at Epic Games that has any decision making, we've now had Fortnite pulled from the App Store and the Google Play Store for over half a year now. It's been over half a year since it's been pulled. Yeah. By the time that this all gets resolved, let's say this all gets resolved and Epic wins. It's not going to happen, but let's just pretend that Epic wins. This all gets resolved. They get to get their developer license back and they get to put Fortnite back on the App Store in like another 6 months to a year minimum. At that point, was it worth all the money that Epic spent? Because at that point, their user base has moved away from iOS and moved away from Android and found another way to play it.
And I don't think there's any reason why Apple has to let them back in the App Store too, or same with Google.
Well, no, this is hypothetical land where Epic wins. They get everything they want. Oh,
Epic wins. Yeah. No,
I just don't see this being monetarily worth their time and this much effort when they could just be like, you know what, Apple? You're right. We'll come back to the App Store. We'll bow down to the contract that we agreed upon, and everybody gets their share of the money as outlined in the contract. And then it's monetarily worth their time. But it's this all this money they're spending on this lawsuit, I don't see it being worth their time in the end if they win.
The vibe I get from it is that Epic is being swallowed by their own hubris. Fortnite has been such an explosive thing. It's been taking over the world for the past couple of years. At this point, Tim Sweeney probably just thinks he can do whatever the fuck he wants. And he's trying to take down Apple in the process, but little does he know that that's going to be very expensive, and Fortnite's not going to last forever.
Yeah, and here's the thing though too. Okay, this trial, like I said before, this trial isn't going to be over this year. Okay, whatever outcome wins, Tim,
one of the Tims will argue.
Yeah. One of the Tims is going to fight it. One of the Tims is going to go to appeal. And, you know, it could likely end up at the Supreme Court. Like, and how long is that going to happen? 4 years from now?
And just Epic wait till Van Claveren gets in.
Yeah. I know. I was just thinking that. Oh, my God.
And then does Epic have the money to continue this fight for 4 or 5 years down the line? I mean, attorneys are expensive. I don't even want to know how much their attorneys are making per hour and how much they've already, fought up on this. But it's gonna come a loss.
So right now, Epic's gonna be the next property bought by Microsoft. I'm calling it right now. Epic's gonna put so much money into this lawsuit, and they're gonna lose so much money over the course of this time.
That makes sense.
That Microsoft will buy them.
I think
about it. Epic is right up Microsoft's alley of buying. Think about all the exclusives Epic has on Xbox as it is. Gears of War is an Xbox exclusive. That's Epic's probably next biggest game outside of Fortnite. I'm willing to bet that when this is all said and done, Microsoft will be buying Epic.
Bro, Epic is not Bethesda. They have Fortnite, which is already like a insane amount of money coming in, or an insane amount of money. And then they also are the creator of the Unreal Engine, which also just farms money. This company is not going to run out of cash. They're not going to be in a place where they need to be bought out.
Which is one of the points that I wanted to make, because like the Fortnite phenomenon is probably like a large but not huge part of their business. So they can probably just spend the money that they get from that on this little like charade, like, oh, maybe this will work, and maybe Fortnite will be in the news for forever, and maybe Apple will be under pressure to change a bunch of things, maybe we'll change the industry. Because like one of the things that I wanted to point out is something that Roy kind of touched on, which is like, in the special scenario where Epic wins and gets whatever they want, like, the judge has already kind of talked about the ramifications of them winning, because she's asked about, well, what's the difference between Apple, iOS, macOS, and something like the Xbox and the PlayStation and the Switch? And I don't think that she's been convinced that if she, Apple is trying, or Epic is trying to substantiate the claim that iOS and the iPhone is different than something like the PlayStation and the Switch and the Xbox, which it's like, not, they're all walled gardens with special hardware developed with special software that runs on top of it and their own app stores. So if somehow Epic busts open iOS, then it could very well be free season on all of the console manufacturers and other walled gardens that we haven't even thought of yet. And it could just absolutely change everything. So like, that's what a judge would have to think about. And whatever law gets passed, if Epic wins, that would have to, it, something would have to take all of that thought into account.
Yeah. And crazy. I think you bring up a good point on that. Tim, you've been awfully quiet though. I'm kind of curious to what your position is on all this.
Oh man, I really don't think Epic's gonna win this whole thing. I like that idea though of Microsoft coming out and buying Epic. I think that would be awesome. Like,
I think it would be too. And Joe, I agree with you. Epic has a lot of money right now, but lawyers cost a lot of money. And you know, I think that this could ultimately hurt them and run over some of their cash in the long run. So
Epic is worth $30 billion. I just looked it up. That is their net worth right now. $30 billion.
And think about,
or Epic.
No, sorry. Epic.
Epic is 30. Bethesda is $5 billion. And Microsoft bought them for 7.5.
Holy crap. Pennies on the
dollar. And you think of Apple, which is a $2 trillion company. They got cash laying around. This is like pocket change to them. You know, every day of trial. But when you think of, you know, what an appeal is going to cost Epic Games, like, that's going to be a lot of money.
This goes all the way to the Supreme Court. That's what I'm talking about. This goes all the way to the Supreme Court. If Epic fights this tooth and nail all the way up to the Supreme Court, because they got to go through, you know, the lower courts, the upper courts, you know, the different appeal processes.
There's a lot of courts in the way.
This is going to cost a lot of money, especially if they, are losing out on potential Fortnite revenue from being on the Google Play Store and the App Store. I understand that Fortnite is not their only cash cow. I'm just saying, I would not be surprised if they blow so much money that it ends up putting them into a bad spot. Maybe not immediately, maybe a few more years down the line. But if they went up for sale, you know it's Microsoft that buys them. You know who buys them.
What do we have?
Tim Cook is like, you know what I'm gonna buy? Epic.
What's gonna be awesome? Microsoft is gonna be like, come join us as we make Windows Phone version 2, and then Epic's Tim Sweeney's gonna be
Windows,
like, yes.
Windows Phone. Be the Epic Phone.
Do we have any reference Fortnite for phone. What a lawsuit like that will cost? That's what I wonder next, because obviously lawsuits are expensive.
Gonna be.
And like, what if it goes like the Supreme Court? How do you gauge like how the cost of that changes?
And I think it goes up every time. Like, when you think about appeals, like, you have to start. I mean,
and I'm sure you're right.
It costs millions to do appeals because you have to start researching, and you have to start bringing up reasons for an appeal, you know, and then you have to advance that to the courts, you know, and then you have to wait for a while. Like, the appeal doesn't come, you know, and then what is, like, let's say there's something wrong with the trial, and let's say the appeal court throws out the previous verdict, you know, or decision, you know, and it goes back into trial again. Epic is going to spend like millions of more money. I mean, this trial is going to take all month. Like, we're not expecting to end till the end of this month.
So much of our thoughts on this though are based on like the understanding that lawsuit equals expensive, but I'm really not sure what that actually turns out to be.
Here's the best frame of reference I can give you. The antitrust lawsuit that Microsoft had to go through back in 2001, if we were to adjust for inflation, cost $52.35 million.
That's not too bad. That's not as bad as I expected.
I expect it to be a lot more, but I mean that's Microsoft's case. It's obviously going to be that was the government going against Microsoft versus a private company going against Apple. So I expect the number to be probably at least double that, if not more. So you know, $100 million on up, I expect this case to cost, because Apple's going to fight tooth and nail, and Epic's going to fight tooth and nail.
Let's say Epic wins. Let's say Epic wins this trial right here. Okay, then it's going to go to appeal. Okay, Apple still, or Epic Games has won it. Doesn't get to come into the App Store. Doesn't get to, like, nothing changes for them. So they're still out. They still can't make their own payment system until, you know, the appeals are heard. The appeals go up. You know, Epic Games is still passing through cash, you know, through that. And they're still not making money off of Google Play or iOS. You're right. It's one title out of, you know, everything else they have. But, like, I don't think Apple or Epic understands the cost that it's going to take to win this. One of the things I've often wondered is why Spotify hasn't tried to gone after Apple and didn't join this lawsuit. The other thing is, nobody joined this lawsuit with Epic Games. Nobody,
like, technically, Microsoft testified and is like fishing for compliments from Epic.
But you didn't see Spotify, who has been very, very open with Apple and their antitrust and their antitrust thing. But you didn't see Epic, or you didn't see Spotify coming in to throw money into this or say good luck, you know. And I think that Spotify has wondered, like, yeah, like, I don't, they don't think I have a case, you know. And it's going to be tough to prove. And again, even if Epic wins, where does it go from there? Appeal.
That brings up one extra thing that, so, like, you're talking about, like, where is Spotify? Where is that mail app? Was it like Heymail or something like that?
Yeah.
Heymail. Yeah. But Heymail's like, I mean, come on. Heymail's like,
They're small.
But, you know, like, why is Face not joined this? Facebook has been very, all over Apple in the last year, they've wanted silent. Cloud gaming. Their cloud gaming app got denied so many times, and it got denied until they took out the gaming portion of it, and now you can only, like, watch live gaming in it. So it's not the exact same app that's built on Android. It's just basically watching games. You can't play games on there. So when you think about that, where is Facebook right now? Facebook doesn't want to fight Apple over this because I don't think they understand I don't think Epic Games understands, and this is just my speculation, but I think Facebook understands the battle that is going to be fought over this, even if they win, you know, this first trial years to come. Like, I mean, we can be sitting here talking about this 5 years later. Where are we at now?
And, like, Facebook can't even masquerade as being a good guy in the same, like, league as, like, Epic can masquerade as being a good guy, even though they're clearly, like, false prophets or whatever they are. Facebook is just, like, already dealing with United States government inquisitions and stuff. So they, plus there was a bunch of documents leaked during this trial to, like, the public, and just imagine if Facebook had to submit any information to anyone. It would be terrible.
That'd be hilarious.
So I mean when I think of this, and I think of how many companies that have spoken out against Apple and haven't come forward,
Coalition. When you think about it.
So
Tim, what do you think?
I think you have a good point. Nobody else is willing to put their name on this lawsuit. Nobody else is willing to at least publicly funnel money to this lawsuit. I'm surprised that Tim Sweeney hasn't put up a GoFundMe page for this yet.
On that same note, after the small calculations we did, is Epic just like, we don't need your help? We're good. We're doing our own thing.
I don't think so. I don't think so. I think Epic, if Epic had more powers behind them, I think that they would, they would take it at a heartbeat.
Epic is owned by Tencent, and Tencent has China money, which is, you know, like unlimited.
Not technically owned. They're like 40%.
It's a majority stake, right?
I don't think that it is.
70%, I think.
Okay.
I think like Tim Sweeney still has. So technically, Epic created the Coalition for App Fairness, which is them, Spotify, Tile, Blockchain.com, Deezer, and a bunch of other people that I haven't heard of, in order to kind of like on the side participate in the free Fortnite campaign. Nobody is like, no, none of these people I don't think are like named in the lawsuit against Apple, but it just shows that Epic is spending money on the side to try and drum up some kind of conversation about app fairness and what Apple is doing with their app store.
And I think Tim or Roy might have mentioned this. This is a publicity stunt in some ways for Epic Games. And
knowing that's a publicity stunt, if they could have gotten help from Spotify or any other company out there to join them in this fight, it would have made them look even more like this was a good cause to be in. It would have made more of a Robin Hood sort of moment for them. Like, look at us standing up to the big guy. Like, this is nothing more than a tantrum and a publicity stunt to look good.
A tantrum that happened at like 2 a.m. when Tim Sweeney was sending damn emails to Tim.
That's another thing.
When he shouldn't have been.
Like, I'm sorry, but if Epic Games was really in the right here, like really in the right, the emails wouldn't have come at 2 a.m.
And it would have gone through lawyers. Yeah,
I mean, two in the morning just sounds like he got drunk one night and just got pissed off, and now he's standing his ground. He's too stubborn to back down now.
Fuck it, I'm taking Apple.
He's got his iPhone right here. He's writing all these emails, and he's BCCing all his lawyers. Like, oh, look at me! And then those lawyers wake up in the middle of the night and they go, oh God! And then they go on their lawyer thread and they go, what is Tim doing today? Like, can somebody please get him under control? Like. I don't know.
It was your turn to watch him.
Homie can barely
the
say.
The conversation.
Yeah, that, must, say? That must have been rough. Yeah.
It's definitely a publicity stunt. For goodness sakes, Epic sent out a care package to influencers with that stupid jacket and a Galaxy Tab S7.
Galaxy tablets.
Like, and then it just says free Fortnite in the Apple font. Like, that's a publicity stunt. They're sending to influencers. That's not like.
I mean,
to top it off,
I really I don't understand how Tim Sweeney still has lawyers right now.
I don't understand how he hasn't been removed yet.
Yeah.
I can't remember what his lawyer did, but his lawyer has been involved in antitrust lawsuits like this before. So I imagine it was the lawyer being like, yeah, we got a really, really good case on our hands. Like, I think we could do it, Tim. And Tim's like, really? I hate Apple. I want to get him. And the lawyer's like, yes, exactly. Yes. It'll be $50 million, please.
We should make a cartoon out of the Tim Sweeney. An Epic, you know, emails in the middle of the night, you know. I think that would be kind of fun to make a TV show cartoon.
I mean, who isn't their most self-righteous at 2 a.m? Like,
really,
you're on fire with your you're on fire with your tweets, you're on fire with your text. It's all fantastic at 2 a.m.
I feel bad for Tim Cook. He doesn't deserve this. This is too much.
You should never feel bad for Tim Cook, literally.
Doesn't deserve this.
I would not feel bad for anybody at Apple right now. I mean, it's just, So the one thing, so I just want to drift away from the trial a little bit because we haven't talked about this, but obviously Tim Cook, I guess, is gonna testify and stuff like that. But Scott Forsall had gone through deposition as well. They were trying to find him. Apple didn't know how to reach him. Supposedly, they gave out his. He was the creator. He was actually next to be in line for CEO after Tim Cook. He was actually up against Tim Cook when Steve Jobs was going through his cancer thing, but Scott Forsall created iOS basically with Tim, and he was responsible for iOS. He later stepped down or was forced to resign because of Apple Maps that came out. He refused to sign the letter apologizing to the users that was posted on the Apple.com website. So instead, they forced him to resign because he refused to sign the letter, and ended up, Tim Cook ended up signing the letter for that. So that was supposedly the reason why he left. And Scott basically, his position was, well, this is what Tim would do, or Scott would, or Steve would do. So that's basically how he kind of, you know, got out of it. He's done a, I guess he did a Broadway show or Broadway play or something like that. I don't know. And then he's been doing like coding camps and stuff like that for people as well. So he's kind of been out of the Apple scene for several years. But it was interesting when, you know, Epic said that they wanted to you know, talk to him and go through a deposition, and you know, well, they gave him a phone number, or they tried to reach him or something like that, and Apple gave out a Twitter handler for Scott and said, this is how I guess you connect with him, because they didn't have any way of getting a hold of him. But he I guess he did go through a deposition, and Apple is representing him in the trial. But a lot of people, and I think Epic, thought that Scott would turn on Apple, and it obviously sounded like it didn't, you know. But they felt like that Scott would turn on him, and I don't think that was going to be the case. But I think that was Epic's big push to try and get Scott to turn on Apple during the deposition. So I just thought that was kind of interesting. And I will be very interested to hear what Scott has to testify about, because I really liked him. He was I think he brought a lot to iOS, and building out the ecosystem. I wouldn't be sad to see him come back, like, or happy. I would be happy to see him come back, because
it's nice that we get like all this history about like all these different we get little pieces of all this history brought up about all of these companies.
Yeah,
it's nice to have like little refreshes and stuff.
Well, and we're seeing emails from Steve Jobs. Like, I mean, it just like I truly miss Steve Jobs, because I feel like he was an absolute genius in some ways, you know. And he, you know, to be fired from your company, go off and create another $1 billion company or million, whatever it was with Pixar, and then to come back to Apple and bring back Apple from the pond and build up to what it is today. I just, I think that is far best than anybody else could have done with Apple. And, you know, Tim Cook is taking the flag from here, you know, and it'll be interesting to see who takes Tim Cook's place.
I can't even imagine what Apple would look like at that time, but I'm curious to see too.
Melinda Gates, right? Aren't you thinking?
Please, Melinda Gates.
I want to see an alternative universe where Tim Sweeney becomes the CEO of Apple.
Oh no!
What
I want?
What
to is, just, no. I just want that simulation. I want to see what the world would look like if that.
So you basically take your iPhone and you smash it on the ground.
What if Bill is playing? Bill yeah. Gates is playing okay. The long con, and Melinda becomes CEO of Apple, and then Bill Gates and Melinda goes, "We're back together."
That would be. That would be like that thing that happened in Eve, where like that guy got into that other corporation, like guild, and like worked his way up to be CEO, and then like took all their money and went back to the actual like guild or corporation he was from. Just massive, massive spy then, games going on.
And then Samsung's in the corner, just like, like, no.
Well, I guess we'll just take our ball and go home then.
Well, no, this is the point where Microsoft has integrated so much of Samsung's Android experience into Windows that Samsung can't even get out now. They're stuck.
Interesting.
See, like I said, this was the long con right here. They're going to own everything.
Yeah.
Microsoft is just setting up to be a black hole, just sucking everybody in and crushing them.
Well, we're coming up on an hour. Does anybody have any final thoughts?
I'm excited to see what the next few weeks bring us.
Yeah, so we just finished up week one. Week two started today. So we could have another week or two of trial before it ends. And then, again, I don't expect a verdict right away. I would expect a verdict probably a month or two from now. And then, again, it goes to appeal and everything else, regardless of what happens. So 5 years from now, we'll be doing a Apple versus Epic game update still.
Also, remember, nobody involved in this lawsuit is good people. All of these people are trash. Do not have any allegiance.
Oh my goodness. Why did you say
you
that?
You can I'm sorry. You can have a side. You can like Apple. You can like keeping your closed ecosystem. You can like what Tim Sweeney is doing, wanting to break it open. Those can be what you like. But neither company is there for you trying to make your life specifically better. They just are doing whatever makes them the most money. And if it happens to be what you like to experience, great. Keep going with that.
So I have to mention this. So I turned over the weekend, I got the notification from Apple to turn off tracking for the Facebook app. So yes. I turned off the tracking. Okay, here is what I got. Are you ready for it?
Let's hear it.
For my Facebook.
Is this an ad?
It's an ad. And it's, let me see if I can, oh, it's hard to see.
I see a B. Is that Nike? Is that Mika?
It's Mike. It's Mike.
Sponsored. Mike.
Sponsored by Mike.
Which we're now sponsoring.
What does this mean?
I think it's just M-I-K-E.
Yeah, Mike. It's just the word Mike. And anyways, I didn't click on it because I didn't want. I don't know what it went to, but it went to some Instagram page, supposedly related to Mike. And I'm assuming his last name may start with a B. I don't know. But anyways, I feel like it's working though because I turned off tracking, and Apple or Facebook is not tracking me. And nor is Instagram. So
only 4% of users.
Yeah, only 4% of users signed up for to be tracked.
I saw that, which is pretty pog. Let's go, people.
Yeah, I'm hoping Google does the same thing because
didn't Google say they were throwing that into Android 12 or at least are testing it out?
I don't know. We'll see. I'm not taking any hints on what's coming into Android 12 until. It gets released because
hopefully we have that answer next week.
Yes.
On the Goopley cast.
Anyways,
should we end it.
That's
end
all
it
I
here?
Have.
Yeah, do a sign off.
All right, cool. Well, we want to give a big thank you to everyone here for joining us live on this episode of the Goopley cast, and a big thanks to you if you're listening to our podcast. Look forward to our replays on YouTube. And the podcast version of our episodes on all of your favorite podcasting apps, including iHeartRadio. Follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook, so that way you'll get notified when we go live. You can join in. And also when we share new tech-related content. Look forward to Tim. What have you got in the pipeline?
Got nothing.
What's up? What's up on on the YouTube channel right now?
I switched from Android to an iPhone for a month, and I filmed my experience and I posted it on YouTube, and you can watch it.
Yeah, go check it out.
Yeah, please go check it out. It's awesome and a lot funny.
Not as funny as Cooking with Tim.
Yes, we still need to get Cooking with Tim back. Come on, Tim.
You must have gotten the video bug by now, the on-camera bug. Like, come on. So I've been your host, Matt Carter, for Matt, Roy, and eventual chef Tim and Joe. Thank you so much for watching and listening, and we'll catch you next time. on the Goobly Cast.
Thanks for listening to the Goobly Cast. Don't forget to subscribe and rate our podcast. Visit us on social media at Goobly. And remember, you can stream the Goobly Cast on your favorite podcasting app or Goobly.com.